Greetings. This is James Ginland with As You Wish Talk Radio. We've got a few announcements we've got to get through, and then I'll bring our guest on. I wanted to remind people about Contact in the Desert, June 1st through the 4th, and that's going to be amazing. Last time we were there, we had 85 ships come over when we did the bringing them in, you know, the meditation to connect with the higher dimensional beings and bring them in. So that was registered by MUFON, and I think it was, actually I have his name right here, Steve Merlo was the one that that gave me that information. But he's going to be at Contact in the Desert. I mean, there's so many people on here, it'd take the whole show to go through the whole list, but it's going to be a great show. A lot of these people I know are good friends of mine. They've been in the field for a long time. And as always, it's going to be an awesome event. So be sure and check out Contact in the Desert, June 1 through 4. And that's on our website if you want to check out more about that. The we've also got the John Vivanco workshop, the remote viewing workshop, coming up really soon. And that's coming the 1st of May. And then May 24th, I believe, we have the not the ambassador training, but self-mastery workshop. So that's all on the eSETIEvents.com if you want to check that out. And we've got the eSETI conference, the July 4th conference, also coming up. And we've got a great lineup here. We've got Mary Rodwell, Joan Ocean, Jordan Sather, Ethan Fox, Teresa Yarnos, Peter Maxwell Slattery, Solrita Antara. And we got a major Australian contingency coming, and they've got some footage to just blow your mind of ships and beings as well that are appearing. And we got Deborah Pistich, Scott Bartel, Jason Gleaves, who also does analyzes the footage that we've had here, and he did a great job on that. Neil and Solgar. And we've got a Misty guest, myself, Jay, Ashley, Elizabeth, Diane, all of them. They're all going to be here. So we've got more coming. We're still signing people up. So this is going to be a great event. So don't miss that that event. The which ties into, I know Jason is going to be there. Our guest tonight is Jason Quitt, and he'll be one of the presenters at Contact in the Desert. And a little shout out to all the crew too for helping us here. I forgot to talk about that. The we have an amazing crew here. I think we've got about 20 people here. And the ranch is just looking incredible. I mean, the landscaping that's being done, the cleanup, the everything. It's better than it's ever looked. And it's very well groomed. All the roofs are fixed, and everything is looking awesome. So I can't wait for people to come up. If you go to the eSETI Stargate, also on YouTube, check out eSETI Stargate, the official channel. We just put up some amazing footage that we just shot, you know, just a few days ago. And we had a group of scientists come up, and so they're like kids in a candy store when the ship started coming in and powering up and doing all kinds of crazy maneuvers. So we have their experience on film. They testified as to what they experienced, and they actually got some pretty good footage along with my footage as well. So that just went up on eSETI Stargate. And what's that under the heading for that?
Skywatch.
I think it's Skywatch and 2018.
April
2018 Skywatch, I think, is the heading. So anyway, check it out. It'll blow your mind. I mean, the colors coming off these ships are just amazing. But anyway, let's go into Jason's bio here. One way to describe Jason would be as a lifelong experiencer who has interacted with multidimensional worlds. When I met Jason at Contact in the Desert last year, I immediately felt the wisdom within this second wave star seed. And Jason's multidimensional contact started at a very early age, has continued throughout his lifetime. And we're going to talk a lot about that, about some of his experiences, the sleep paralysis and the out of body experiences into multiple dimensions, experiencing guides and masters. And you know, one of the most important things is how to heal yourself and how you can affect change in others. He studied very various modalities and spiritual practices with teachers from around the world, practices Algonquin shamanism, and is the author of three books, Egyptian Postures of Power, Ancient Qigong System, and the Yosef Codes, Sacred Geometry, Mandalas, and Meditation. I get a healing on my mouth right now. It's like, it's not working. But anyway, without further ado, Jason, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been a long day. We've been working our tails up since sun up to sundown, and places looking good though. But anyway, I wanted to. There's so many things to talk about. First, I wanted to talk about a little bit about your experience here at East SETI. Last time you were here with Jimmy Church, and you got some amazing photographs of the cave that opened up on the mountain. And some of the other things. I'd love for you to talk a little bit about that, about your experiences while you're here at East SETI.
Of course. And there was a ton of experiences, not just one or two, but many, many amazing experiences. In fact, I'm so excited to come back there this year. It's like, you know, you get that feeling like you have to go back to summer camp once a year.
Yeah.
Well, East SETI is my summer camp. That's my new tradition.
Everybody says it on their bucket list. They said, you know, get to East SETI, you know, and every time they come, they go, why didn't I come here earlier? But
And, you know, I brought my wife the first time too, and she's going to come again.
Great.
And even my wife, like, I don't think I told anybody this, but, you know, my wife, she's very gifted, very psychic when she's in the right state of mind. And when we did the first meditation, when you do the table tipping and the, you know, you do this every night, and I forget exactly what you call it, but when you were putting people into the meditative state, my wife kind of, you know, elbows me. She leans up and she goes, there's a very tall feline being standing in the corner of the room. And my wife doesn't know anything about, like, she was completely naive walking into this event. I didn't tell her anything. She didn't know anything about anybody. And right after she said that, then you said, there's a feline, the feline beings have now entered the space. So it was like an amazing confirmation that, you know, these multidimensional beings are not only attracted to the space and also you and the people coming through, but this is a place of gathering. It's a place where all these different multidimensional beings come, and you can feel it. I remember I was sitting with Jimmy Church, and it's like he had this amazing experience there when you were doing the meditation, and when I was closing my eyes, it was like almost having the exact same experience of like someone touching my face, just to show that, you know, someone was there. So just right off the bat of getting to East SETI and just getting into that headspace, the experiences started to happen immediately, just right off. And go ahead.
No, I was just saying it's, you know, there's so much energy here. The veils between worlds are so thin here. People come here, and whatever they're connected to just opens right up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And actually, I'm really excited. I want to jump into so many things, but I had a very strange Sasquatch experience. And I've told this story before, I think on Jimmy Church's show, but I don't think I told you this. We're staying in the cabin, and they have these wooden windows in there, and they're pretty hard to open and close. You know, it's a wooden window.
Yeah.
And I think it was the same place where it was a Clyde Lewis that had his experience.
Yeah, it is exactly.
And so I'm sleeping at night, and we love sleeping with the window open because you get the fresh air in. And in the middle of the night, this window comes crashing down, just slams right down, wakes me up. And in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, Monica woke up and closed the window, right? The next morning, we wake up, we go by the fire pit, and I'm trying to remember his name. Is it Larkin?
Yeah, Larkin.
Yeah, Larkin. He's sitting there and he's telling a whole crowd of people about he saw the Sasquatch last night. Mm-hmm. And everybody was like, okay, where did you see him? He's like, I saw it between this car and that window. And he pointed to my window where I was sleeping. and suddenly I just remember this crashing window coming down. And I said, okay, what time did you see this? And he's like, oh, this was late. This was about like 3:30 in the morning. And that was exactly the time when my window came crashing down. And I'm thinking, did the Sasquatch come and close my window? Because even if I put my weight on the top of that window, it's very hard to close it.
It is.
So I definitely felt that, you know, with that window closing, I know it's not really saying that's actual proof. And I saw this thing because I didn't see anything, but it scared me right out of my bed. And the next morning we had another witness saying there was this Sasquatch right there standing by my window.
And there's the one they saw was pretty big. I guess we have a juvenile one that likes to prank people and do things like set off car alarms and they always try to get our attention. And then they ask us if they can come and have some apples, you know, and we always say yes. But it's really interesting to watch the ongoing, you know, phenomenon. And as you're saying, Clyde Lewis had one run right up to him, skid, stop, smile at him, and then turn around and run away. It turned him upside down when he saw it. And Lorcan O'Toole, it's Peter O'Toole's son. He was the one that one of them that witnessed it. There was another woman with him. Tiffany was with him, and then another guy. And they saw it walk by this van, and they said, judging by how tall it was next to the van, this one was probably 9 feet. You know, they figured it was about 9 feet tall. But there seems to be a whole family of them that seem to come around. And there's a really old one, a very old, like, master Sasquatch. And he has two apprentices that I've seen that he's teaching, you know, working with them. So a lot of people don't understand the Sasquatch thing. They just think it's some big ugly ape out there or something else. They're very, very, they're extremely sensitive. They're very attuned to nature. They're very spiritual. And, you know, if you, just like everything, if you project a dumb ape or say they don't exist, that's your experience, you know. But if you focus on them in a different way, it changes, you know, with your focus.
But we didn't just have one of those experiences. We were in the field. I think it was Pleiadian Circle. We were pretty far down, and it was myself and Monica and Lori and the little dog, Charlie Brown.
Oh, yeah.
And Lori's holding the dog, and we're standing in the field, and suddenly Charlie Brown starts to go crazy, and it's barking and barking and looking in a direction. So Monica and Lori look at the direction of where Charlie Brown is barking. And, you know, Charlie Brown is like really trying to get out of Lori's hands to run in that direction. She's holding the dog back. And what Monica said is, I missed it. I was looking up at the stars. I was out of it. And but Monica said this, it wasn't like a black or brown fur. It was almost like a blonde-haired Yeti. And it ran really fast right across the field into the tree line, and she said it was very big, and it couldn't have been like a deer or anything like that. It was very noticeably like a huge person that was covered in this blonde hair running across the field.
Yeah, we see that is one of the descriptions we get, is there's a very blonde-haired one. I've seen a white-haired one. I've seen one that has kind of gold or blonde hair. And the other ones have more dark brown hair that we've seen.
So it's amazing that just in a short period of time, it's just over a weekend, we can have not one, not two, but many different types of these experiences, because your land is extremely sacred. The veil is extremely thin there. And there's all these portals and dimensional gateways there where you can be standing in the right spot and your sight will see something different than others. And I remember, I can't remember how many people were there, but it was at least over, it was got to be over 100 people sitting in that field at night.
Yeah.
That field was packed with people. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were looking at the tree line and this huge orb just starts kind of coming through that tree line. And, you know, Jimmy's there, and Jimmy Church is a very loud individual. You could hear his voice from across the field.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he was sitting there and someone goes, "Do you see that orb in the field?" And Jimmy's voice goes, "You can see that too."
Yeah.
So it's like you have 100 people sitting there witnessing whatever this is. You know, everybody's trying to define what this is, but, you know, when it comes down to it, we're just having this beautiful collective experience of some type of multidimensional opening where we can all sit there and experience and see these things. And I think this is, you know, the blessing of why you have ESETI is that people can come to your place and just be in the energies and allow that land to heal you, to awaken you, and then you can start to see these different events happening.
Yeah, we had a very skeptical scientist out there one day, and you know, there was probably 50 ships came over and, you know, a couple power-ups and things like that. And he was saying, "Oh, that's the iridium flare and that's this and that's that." And I said, "Well, I have the app right here and there is no iridium flare." You know, and he was really in denial. He goes, "You know what?" He goes, "I'll believe that these are real when one stops and goes back the other way." And, yeah. And, you know, within less than a minute, this one comes cruising in, stops and goes back the other way. And I was laughing so hard when that happened. But I love when they do that. But he just could not wrap his head around it. He goes, nothing can do that. He was saying nothing. I don't understand that. He goes, satellites can't stop. They can't turn around and go back the other way. They can't, you know, and these other things were making turns. And he was doing everything he could to, you know, make them something that he would feel comfortable with, you know, something he knew. Even though it's obvious these were not satellites or anything else. And, you know, and then he was saying, "Well, that's that this big one came through." And he goes, "Well, that's a space station." I said, "Well, it's going north and south." And he goes, "What do you mean?" I go, "Well, the space station is coming in from the west and it's going to go west to east. And it's not due to, it already came through. It came through at 8:00 and, it's not going to be coming through for quite some time." But it's really funny, you know, how people try to pigeonhole this stuff or stick it in the box that is comfortable to them. And even though it's obvious, it's not. It doesn't fit into that category.
And, okay, here's a strange story. Because this has to do with the connection to consciousness and these things, whatever these things are. Yeah. All right, I really don't want to define it. And like we were in the field and, you know, we're all screaming power up. And then these lights would just kind of explode in the sky. Like it's almost like we're asking for a show, like show us the fireworks. And some of these ships respond and they just explode with a beautiful light in the sky. And so the week when we returned after ESETI, so we're in Ontario now, and maybe people know where this is, in Barrie, Ontario, which is like an hour plus north of Toronto. And it's a beautiful night out, clear sky. Monica and I are taking a walk through the neighborhood at nighttime, and we're having this debate, like, why do these ships need to power up for us? Like, it's almost like a show. Like, why do they need to show and prove that they're there or they're connected to us? And I just, you know, said, well, maybe they're just acknowledging us like we're acknowledging them. Mm-hmm. And as I turn the corner on the street, this huge star right in front of me just exploded. And it just, the whole sky lit up in front of me right when we were talking about this. And I'm looking up, I'm like, this is, I don't want to say crazy, but like, did this thing follow me home from East City?
They do, actually.
You know, it's saying hello, like, yes, we're here, we're listening, we're connected. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, this is an ego thing. Like, I'm so special that I just call out to a UFO and it flashes me. But it was almost like it was listening to our conversation. And when we said, like, it flashes to acknowledge our connection with one another, and then flash of light. It was like a beautiful moment of confirmation that there is some type of psychic consciousness connection to these things, which I really think are multidimensional.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, right before the show, we were sitting here, and there was some funky energy going on. We were kind of clearing it, and the whole room, you could feel the energy come in, and it was the Palladians coming in, and my whole left side was tingling like crazy, and they just lifted everything off before the show, which was great. And, you know, they're just a thought away. And those who've been working with them long enough, you start getting your own personal signals for them. And I get signals in my body as to which group it is and everything else. But it's, you know, it's been an ongoing thing. We're talking about, I was just on Coast to Coast last night, and we were talking about how, you know, this isn't something we're trying to prove happened in the past. You can come up here anytime, and it's ongoing, and have your own experience. And that's the main thing, is people having their own experience, realize they are connected to these beings. And a lot of us have had past lives in these other civilizations. And, you know, they're just like acknowledging that connection, you know, that there's definitely a connection there.
Yes. And from what I've been shown with my experience is that actually could be us from another dimension and timeline, mm-hmm. looking at us. And that's how evolved they are. They can come visit themselves in other worlds and dimensions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they do have time travel abilities. And, you know, I've had those experiences where I'm fully aware of a lot of my past lives. And I remember being on the ships and my ship and everything. And one time I connected with this being, and he said, I am you, you know, from another time. It kind of blew my mind. And I said, okay, you know, and then he told me some things, and he said, but, you know, this is our secret. I can't mention his name or anything, because apparently we've done some major damage on some reptilians, and it's not a good idea to let people know where you are, you know. But it was kind of funny. I was kind of laughing about it, and I said, good, you know. But Are you aware? Have you noticed there's a massive cleanup going on? And I know Tuesday, a huge wave of energy came through. It was really intense last Tuesday, and it's now tapering off. I'm not sure when the next one is coming. I'll have to look up, check into it. But it seemed to bring everything up for people, but not just other people's issues and things like that. It brought these other entities out of the woodwork, and we have just been clearing and clearing and clearing just to keep the energies clear. But have you noticed anything like that happening in the past week?
Well, you can still hear my cough, right?
Yeah.
I've been sicker than I don't even remember the last time I was this sick.
Oh, yeah.
And it's been lingering for, I think, since, when did I come back? April 5th. That's how long it's been. And I've just been like purging all this stuff. And I'm actually in Florida right now. And this is like my yearly vacation thing. And I've been sick the whole time here. So it's not really a vacation, but there's definitely something. And there's all this anxious energy, and I could feel the energy going through. There's definitely a lot of deep digging. And I'm feeling, I was just outside looking at that moon, and it's starting to become full. And I can just feel that right when that moon is going to be full, these things are going to be done. It's just going to lift the rest of the stuff off.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I went through that too. I was down in March. I got hit by like a double round. I was down in Mexico and I got hit by some kind of like that norovirus or something. And then I turn around, I get hit by another one, like right after I came out of that one. And that one only lasted maybe 3 or 4 days. And then I was good. And I go, oh, that was easy. You know, I'm through. And I did a lot of things. I was drinking the Langenberg oxygen water while I was there. And I was taking colloidal silver and doing a lot of other things to knock it out. I took the MMS stuff too, just to knock it down. And it knocked it out pretty quick. But the second batch, when it came around, it just nailed me. And everybody I know that got that other flu, even though I had all that those things that I was using, I knocked it out the first round. But everybody I know that caught that, it just flattened them. And then they thought they were better, and then it hit them again. It was like a double whammy, you know.
Sounds like what I went through too. So,
yeah. And I really think all of these things, and from my understanding, I know people that are biophysicists and things like that. They said all of these things are engineered, you know, these flus, everything, they're engineered. And, you know, and there's people making a lot of money off this. And it also fits into the population control program, which people don't want to talk about. But, you know, but definitely, when I saw that hit down in Mexico, I saw all the people get extremely sick, and then I saw it hit the second time, and everybody got even sicker. And there's a lot of people died down there. There's funerals. When they have a funeral there, they block off the street, and everybody comes for a while and pays homage, you know, and then they, I guess, put them in the ground or whatever they chose to do. But it's amazing how many streets were blocked off. And I asked one of the guys, I said, what's going on? And he said, yeah, there's about five people that checked out, you know, and most of them were elderly people, you know, that their immune systems couldn't handle it. But, yeah, it's definitely on the rise.
Yeah. And, you know, I used to be one of these conspiracy realists, who would go into all these different down the wrong rabbit holes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And there's definitely technology out there where, you know, they can put different particulates in the atmosphere, in the air, drops on the population, and then they just pump out the frequency that activates it in the human immune system. And there you go. Done. Easy.
Yeah, they just released accidentally all of this, the mind control technology that they have, and how they can beam frequencies and microwave and create any kind of emotion or pattern or even illness, you know, within the body. And they said it was an accidental release, but now the cat's out of the bag and everybody knows about it. And it went like wildfire, you know, across the internet.
Yeah. And now, this is just off the top of my head. I have to get the correct names, but there was a Russian scientist. Maybe you're familiar with this experiment where they have two petri dishes with, let's say, one with disease cells and one with normal cells. Mm-hmm. And they put it in a box and they would separate it by a piece of glass so that, you know, it wouldn't be cross-contaminated. And obviously, when they separated it with a piece of glass, the diseased cells didn't affect the normal cells. What they did was they replaced the piece of glass with a piece of quartz glass. And now the healthy cells would get affected or infected by the unhealthy cells on the other side. And they were trying to figure out, how is this possible that one can be affected through quartz instead of glass? And what they found is that these cells were emitting ultraviolet light signals, and the ultraviolet light was communicating with the healthy cells, and now the healthy cells were getting that information and becoming sick.
Wow.
So they found out that they can actually capture the information from the ultraviolet light and beam that information through ultraviolet light to healthy cells, and it will make them sick. So it's not just like EMFs, like microwaves that could send information to us, but also light frequencies. And I believe the light frequencies, if they know how to use those, and this is very old information too, mm-hmm. if they know how to use that information through light, especially ultraviolet, they could definitely broadcast different illnesses, 100%.
Yeah, I know Rife Technology did that. He could broadcast healing frequencies miles and cure cancers and everything. And they had to put their samples in lead boxes because whenever they started broadcasting the healing frequencies, it would clear up all their samples, you know, when they're trying to study, you know, different types of cancers and things like that. And also too, I know they have two things I know for sure, because Marcel Vogel worked on that back in the late 70s. He had a device that he could send things through the ethers, and it had crystals cut with five sides. And he would send any kind of an herb through the ethers, but all he needed is a photograph. It's like a radionics device, but much stronger. And he could send any kind of healing, like medicine or herb or whatever, across the ethers to somebody, you know, miles away. It didn't matter how far away they were, and they would feel the effects of it. And they came and, you know, he had a heart attack after that. And next thing you know, they came in and just took everything out of his lab. And from my understanding, they weaponized it, you know, and say, hey, we can put belladonna in here or hemlock or something and poison people from a distance, you know. So, I mean, not to freak people out, but that technology does exist. They can actually capture the frequencies of a heart attack and send it to you. And your body wouldn't know the difference. It would be thinking it was having a heart attack. And the one that blows me away is the computer to brain technology now, where you know you can hear the voice of God, you know, in your brain, and actually think you're talking to God. And so, you know, I always double check everything. You know, a lot of people think they're talking to ETs, and they very well may be some mind control stuff going on, but it's very tricky to be able to sense the frequency of the entities versus just getting messages, you know, and really discerning where they're coming from and what is the content of the message.
Exactly. And see, this is one of the reasons why I go out and speak publicly to people and audiences, is because we really need to learn how to separate. And, you know, when there's somebody that has no spiritual background, religious background or anything, and they hear a voice or something comes and talks to them or gives them information or even shows them a vision, it's like they take it as the word of God. Yeah. It's like, this is the truth, because this was an amazing experience. And, you know, I've received messages my whole life. And just because I receive messages doesn't mean I'm taking everything and going and preaching it, mm-hmm. you know, because it has to feel right for me. You know, it has to go through your protocols, I'd say, you know. So, and I've caught entities, I can't even tell you how many times I've caught entities broadcasting false things mm-hmm. to me. And the beautiful thing about being multidimensional is when you receive the message, I pop out, or I change my awareness to that dimension, and I see them clear as day, and I know that they're manipulating me. And yeah. I, you know, put a stop to it right there and then. So we really have to learn the difference between what's a real message and what's a fake message.
Yeah, I've even written books about that back in the 80s, about safeguards for pure channeling and things like that, and how to use discernment. because, you know, we have a saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, and just because you're an ET doesn't mean you're benevolent, you know. And
yeah,
and unfortunately there are people out there teaching that, you know, that everything's benevolent, just open wide, let anything in, and, you know, stop being spiritual snobs and things like that, even in the UFO community. And that's, to me, that's extremely dangerous. You know, there are safeguards. There are, you have to learn how to heal unseen negative influences and, you know, shield yourself. But I just see, you know, there's even faker spirits. They'll act like they're some master or whatever, and they'll get you through flattery, and they'll tell you you're the chosen one, and they create the separation game, and they flatter you, and they pump your ego up, and you're just in the spiritual ego realm. And then you tell everybody how special this being said you were, and you want everybody else to think you're special now. And it's really a mind screw that they put you through. And if you haven't hit that God self level where you realize everything is one and there is no separation, and identity is not important, you can fall victim to this very easily. And I do see a lot of people in the spiritual and even in the UFO community that have these entities standing right behind them while they're doing their lectures. And you try to explain to them, like, hey, look, you know, that encounter you had, it really wasn't in your highest and best good. And you might not want to keep connecting with these beings. You might want to take it a little higher. And, you know, they get pretty upset with you because they have a following and they've written books and, you know, things of that nature.
But the real mind screw is sometimes they come to you in a vision, like an angel, like a Buddhist master, like a god. They will come to you looking like this divine being that you want to get down and pray to. And it is very scary when, you know, a being will come like that. And you have to make the decision, are you going to listen to this and believe it? Because you just know inside it doesn't feel right. Even if it looks like this amazing spiritual experience. For example, I'll just tell a quick story of an outer body experience I had. it was actually, I was at my mother's house one afternoon, and I just, you know, was tired, and I went to sleep on the couch. And I get kicked out of my body, and now I'm in the astral state, and I see the astral version of my mother come into the room, and she starts speaking to me, and I could just feel that this was very odd, very strange, didn't feel right. And I don't know how I knew how to do this, but I just almost instantly created this Merkaba out of my heart in my hands, and it was almost like this red laser beam geometric Merkaba, and I spun it and I expanded it, and I placed it around the astral version of my mother. And when I did that, it took away the disguise, and I saw the real being standing there. And then I just said, all right, goodbye. And I shot the Merkaba up into space, and it took the being with it. You know? Yeah. I don't know how I knew how to do that. It was just a natural thing that, I don't know, I just knew how to do it.
Yeah.
But things will come in disguises. And this is what we have to understand. So, yeah, we need our own sovereignty, our own strength, and we need to know that there is no level of difference between you and them. We're all at the same level. We just don't realize it yet.
Exactly. Well, there's discern tools for discernment, I call them. And, you know, you stick to universal law, basically. You know, and if they're not talking about universal peace and brother, sister, love and individual freedom and prosperity for everybody, you know, if that's not their main foundation or their main goal, you know, I kind of switch channels. There are some that will come in and give you a heads up. Hey, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. But their whole mission is for healing. It's not condemning others. They're just saying, hey, you've got some problems over here, or you got some things you not got to look at over here, and things like that. But ultimately, I see this over and over. People get caught up in their egos, and they get into the spiritual ego, and they think they're the only one that knows what's going on, and everybody else is confused or lost or whatever, and they go into denial and they go into all these other programs. And no matter how much you try to explain things to them and tell them what's going on, it doesn't work until, you know, I guess they have to hit that wall or have that experience. But, you know, I see that over and over, especially being out in the community. It's very hard not to fall victim to that, you know, not to, because, you know, you start connecting with these higher beings and everything else. And then you do a healing or you help somebody and your ego goes, I did that, you know, and pretty soon you get all pumped up and then they got you, you know, and I see that happening. You know, there's so many people trying to be somebody. They don't realize they already are somebody, and there's nowhere to go. You can't separate yourself from omnipresence, but they're still trying to be somebody and create an image and get other people's love and acceptance and approval. And it's usually a wounded child. When you get down to the bottom line, there's a wounded child that didn't get what it needed as a kid, and it's trying to do it externally. And so there's so many wounded healers out there and people on the circuit that they haven't done their own homework yet. They haven't finished their own clearing.
And it's counterintuitive, because to be that miracle healer, let's just call it that, you know, to be that amazing healer, you have to be completely empty.
Exactly.
And it's the thing that blows my mind is that our natural state of being is in that alignment of miracles and healing. That's our natural state of being. Once we go into the ego or go into the idea of I am going to heal you and do this work because I am special, you're disconnecting yourself from that emptiness of natural order of what you actually are. And when you're in that order, you don't have to do anything. You don't even have to think, I want to heal this person. You don't have to do anything. If you're just in that state of being and state of consciousness, just by being in that presence, the energy field will start to heal itself, because that's the natural order. That's the natural state.
Yeah, you just have to show up. I like the Native American saying, you have to become like a hollow bone. But people use that and go, yeah, I'm a Native American and I use the hollow bone. You know, well, you just separated yourself again, you know? And so it's kind of, when you really get it, you're beyond all cultural, all religious programs. You're beyond all that. There is no division when you're working with those energies. But each time you put an identity on yourself, trying to give you a one-up, you know, a one-up on everybody else, that's your ego doing it. And it's really tough to step aside and catch yourself doing that. And, you know, at a conference here, I had a name badge and it said nobody on it, you know. I said, I'm nobody. I like that. I'm going to do that again next time. But
the thing is, all right, so I'll just go back to like the beginning of my experiences, is the way that I knew that these experiences were genuine and not in a manipulative form, mm-hmm. was that these beings, all they were talking to me about is, if you want to go on this journey, you need to learn how to heal yourself.
Exactly.
And that was the main message. I didn't get messages of galactic federations. I didn't get messages of, you know, conspiracy weirdness things. It was specific to me and my situation. And it says, you know, you need to learn who you are. And the way to do that is you need to learn how to strengthen your energy, heal yourself. And as you do that, as you go down that path of healing, all those answers will reveal itself, because that's in the natural state of order of healing yourself.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and people put all these other masters up on pedestals. I always tell people, you know, if Jesus and Buddha appeared to me, I'd just high five them, you know, and start telling bad jokes. But, you know, it's if you're authentic, that's where your real core power comes from, by being authentic. And it's sad, because the foundation isn't being taught right now. Very few people have that just basic foundation, that understanding that, that, you know, you are God, you are gods and goddesses, you know, you're the one consciousness resides within you. You just have to expand it. And it's not that complicated, but the ego and the mental body and the intellect gets, makes it all really complicated. And I know you do Yigong and things like that. And I know they refer to, you know, Yigong is the place of no mind. You know, you're doing the practices, giving your mind something to do so you can get to that, that state of no mind.
And that no mind is the place to be, because when you're in the no mind, you're in that stream of natural order that you're just connected and you will just heal. You will just be a better version of you is the more you connect to that place of no mind. And it's like, you know, I've had opportunities in my journeys where I've come face to face with what people would refer to as ascended masters.
Mm-hmm.
And they never said anything to me. They never said a thing to me. It was almost like you're meeting up with a friend and, you know, it's an old friend and you're saying hello and you're just happy to be with them. There was nothing like a transfer of information or anything. It's just kind of hanging out. And I remember I was with this being, people would call him El Moira. I believe that's what they would call him. And he had this turban on, and this turban had these most beautiful gems, like gems I've never seen before. So the entire time I was with this person or this ascended master, whatever you want to title you want to give them, I couldn't stop staring at these jewels. I just thought it was the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
And then people will say, well, what did he tell you? What did you do? I said, nothing. We just kind of hung out. We acknowledged each other and I came back home. There was nothing, you know, there.
You should have said, hey, dude, cut loose with one of those jewels. I have a healing center to build. No, I'm just kidding. But I noticed when you, a lot of these higher beings, they really don't talk much. And yes, there's an exchange of energy and consciousness, but there's not a lot of words. And to get information, I mean, I can, when I'm doing clearing work, I can help others and find out, you know, what's where their patterns are to help them clear, you know, past life patterns and things like that. Usually that's all about healing mode and service mode. But when you're just hanging out with them, they really don't talk much. They're just in that bliss state.
Exactly. And the thing that I find very, very interesting, I've met, like I tell people, I've met hundreds and hundreds of these beings. And they're like, oh, where are they from and what's their name? And I'm like, you know, 99% of the time, they do not say their name and they do not say where they come from. And I remember asking one of these beings, you know, who are you and where did you come from? And they gave me the weirdest look, like, I don't know you? What are you talking about? Of course you know who I am, where I'm from, and my name. You know, it's like, I can't describe it,
yeah,
but it's almost like at a soul level or a multidimensional level, your family, like, you know, everything there is to know about this being standing there, but your human consciousness does not have a clue. It's just kind of aware that you're having the experience. And when you come back, you're like, yeah, this strange being came and it looked like a walking column of mercury, like glowing multidimensional things. I can't even describe it. Uh-huh. And I knew it was my mother in a parallel life. I just knew.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know from where, and I don't know the name. I don't know anything. All I know is I could feel that's what this being was. So I don't know if you get the same thing, but they rarely give information on, hi, I'm, you know, this person from this planet. It just almost never happens to me.
No, a lot of times too, you have to ask. Like, mm-hmm, there was some information that it was like pulling teeth to find out. And then they finally told me because I asked. And they said, well, we couldn't tell you what's going on until you asked the question. And I've had that happen quite a bit. When I figured it out, then I would ask them, they go, good, you figured it out, you know, because I went within and looked at it and sat with it and you know, I just had them verify it. But yeah, it's kind of interesting how that all works. I want to talk about what's the best way for people to connect with you and you know, get a hold of your books and anything else in your upcoming events.
Sure. The best way to get my books is from my website, thecrystalsun.com. And you could also get the books off of Amazon. But with the Egyptian Postures of Power, Amazon doesn't include the DVD with the book. So it's better just to get it on the Crystal Sun site. But I'm doing more YouTube things now, and I'm traveling a lot. So like I'm coming to Isseti in August to hang out at Soul Tech, which is going to be amazing. And I'll be with you at Contact in the Desert again, which is going to be, you know, I'm looking so forward to Contact in the Desert. So there's a lot of places where people can come and see me physically, or they can go online. I have just like you, I mean, we have like hundreds of different interviews on YouTube that people could just look up. And I just checked today, my last the last lecture I did at Contact in the Desert 2017, it's been bootlegged so many times on YouTube. And right now, one of those bootlegs is up on YouTube, and it's already at like 140,000 hits.
Wow, that's
which
good.
Which is, you know, I could never do that talk again.
Yeah. I think mine got bootlegged too, from what I understand. But I know when we did the movie Contact Has Begun, they had a whole team on it taking it off YouTube constantly. It was like it was pretty interesting. But, you know, I didn't really care. I didn't make any money off that. But I was the main character in it. But the I thought it was interesting. You know, I just did it to get the information out. But the DVDs were is amazing. They were just selling like hotcakes, and
they love you in Japan. I think I already told you this.
Oh, yeah.
Because I spend about maybe 2 months out of the year in Japan, mm-hmm. and everybody knows you. They all know your movie. They love coming out to Isseti and being a part of all this. And I know that there's a J-Seti as well. In Japan. So, yeah. So that movie really did make it far.
We have Isseti, Australia, Isseti, Japan. And I did a tour and I went to Japan and then I went to Australia and did a lot of workshops and a lot of classes there. And it was great. It was amazing. You know, one of the funny things, though, if Sunday, the last workshop I did, the major workshop on the mainstream news there, a huge ship flew right over Tokyo. And it hit the mainstream news, and it was all over the news. I thought it was hilarious. But, I love those people. They're great. The only thing that I was a little deterred by is when I went back, these people had shrines. They had these little shrines with my picture on it and all these little incense burners and everything. I go, no, you missed the message. You know, it's not me. It's in you. You know, it's you know, the whole message was about empowering people. And you know, I was, you know, flattered by it in a way. But at the same time, I just said, you know, I'm not here to create, you know, an external experience. I'm here to help you make your own personal connection with source. But I guess no matter what you do, you can't get away from that.
I did not see that. I did not see that.
Good.
But no, it's you've made a positive influence over there. It's definitely felt. So like I remember the first time I went over there, the first question they asked me is, do I know James?
That's funny. Did you meet Khan while you were there?
No, but my friend is very close with him. So every time I go, they're always saying, oh, you have to get together one day. When the stars are in the right alignment, everything will be there.
Well, we'll bring him back out here again. I'll let you know when he comes out.
Perfect.
Amazing guy. Hey, we hit the end of the hour, unfortunately. I wish we had a longer show, but I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and everybody send you some nice healing energy to get you through this little whatever cold phase you've got going.
Thank you.
I know what it's like. I went through that same thing, and it wasn't a fun ticket, you know, that's for sure. But
well, getting some good sun in Florida, and you know, I am pumped going back to Yosemite. I'm getting my tickets this week, so I'm pumped.
Great. Awesome. Well, anyway, keep up the great work. I can't thank you enough. And we'll have to get you back on the show because I know we have a lot more to talk about.
Oh, yeah. The hour just flies by with you.
Yeah. Anyway, we're signing off. Unfortunately, we're out of time, folks. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Watch the skies. Remember, pure intent, open mind, loving heart. That's all you need to make contact. Good night.